Our scripture passage this morning
comes from the 8th chapter of Amos, the first 12 verses. Hear and receive the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. God said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The songs of the temple shall become wailing on that day, says the Lord. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in every place. Be silent. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain in the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale? We shall make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has shown pride, has shown by the pride of Jacob. Surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account, and everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt? On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentations. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, but not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day and for all that you are about to do. We pray, Lord God, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable unto you, for you are our God, you are our rock and our Redeemer. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Commentator William Willimon states, one way you can tell the difference between a true and living God and a dead and a fake God is that a false God will never tell you anything that will make you angry and uncomfortable. The passage from Amos today can certainly be characterized as one in which we might find ourselves a little uncomfortable. The prophet Amos was the most unlikely mouthpiece for God. He was a lowly herdsman and the dresser of sycamore trees, a commoner, an outsider, an agitator from the southern kingdom of Judah, who prophesied to northern Israel during a time of national security and material affluence. Affluence and security that was enjoyed by a few at the expense of many. The legendary Billie Holiday sang, them that's got shall have, and them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Yes, the strong get more while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grade. Rich relations give crust of bread and such. You can help yourself, but make sure you don't take too much. Mama may have, and Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own. That's got his own. Brothers and sisters, it seems that truer words were never spoken. The world standard is, I have mine, but if you don't get yours, shame on you. Robin and Miriam, an obscure movie in the 70s starring Sean Connery and Audrey Hepburn, played an aging Robin Hood and Maid Marian. In the tragic end of the movie, Marian poisons Robin Hood in order to end his suffering after he has been mortally wounded by the Sheriff of Nottingham. Once Robin Hood accepts his fate, the camera scans to a bowl of fruit on the table in the room. This shot is subtle but significant, because at the beginning of the movie, the fruit was fresh, lovely, edible, but now it is overly ripe, rotting, and well past the time of consumption. You might ask yourself, how did we go from Amos's message in chapter 8 of a fresh bowl, basket of summer fruit to the end? The message didn't begin in a foreboding way, for God simply asked Amos, "What do you see?" And he replied, "A basket of summer fruit." Fruit which we can surmise was ripe and at the peak of freshness, ready for enjoyable consumption. But immediately it becomes apparent that something was rotten in that basket. When God replied, "The end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass by them." How did something as lovely as a basket of summer fruit symbolize God's displeasure with the people of Israel? God's commission of Amos to prophesy was an act of mercy and grace toward Israel. Amos was sent to the northern kingdom to deliver the message that their superficial religiosity, their refusal to trust in God, and their ungodly practices towards the poor were about to come to the end and would result in their destruction. The summer fruit signified Israel's end. God was fed up and had lost all patience. Their songs of praise in the temple would become wailings and lamentations. Dead bodies would be many and scattered everywhere. Now, we don't like to think of God as being anything but loving, kind, gracious, and merciful. But the problem with Israel, and yes, with us, is that we have that expectation of God while we trample on and take advantage of the poor rather than being loving, kind, and just ourselves. God becomes angry when we act unjustly, mistreating our brothers and sisters, most especially those who have the least. I ask you, are they not, and are we not, our brothers and sisters' keepers? Yesterday, I listened to the presumptive Republican presidential candidate introduce his choice for vice presidency, Governor Mike Pence, and I will admit that he is from my former home state, reluctantly. Governor Pence came to the stage and he thanked the Trump family for making the sacrifices that they have made to make America great again. He expressed that he was grateful to God, his family, and wife, and Mr. Trump, as well as thanked him for choosing him to serve. Governor Pence spoke of America being tired of waiting for politicians to get to the problems of the people. He's absolutely correct. We are tired. We're tired of a Congress who hasn't done their job in years. We're tired of our current president being disrespected continually because he is a man of color. We're tired of the least of these not being provided for. We're tired of the senseless murders perpetuated by those who are commissioned to protect and serve. And we're tired of the murder of those who are simply trying to do their job of protecting and serving. We're tired of the cuts that government makes to programs that provide food, health care, safe child care, and financial assistance to those who are most in need. We are tired of people not being paid a livable wage, unable to provide adequately for their families. We are tired of politicians who talk a good game but do little to ensure that what is needed by the people trickles down to those who are most in need. And we are tired of black lives not mattering. Now, I will add that we understand that all lives matter. That goes without saying. But until black lives matter in this country, all lives don't matter. Governor Pence declared that the solution to solving the problems of the people of America begins with electing a president who will fight to make America respected and great on the world stage. Fight for real change, including cutting taxes, repealing Obamacare lock, stock, and barrel on day one, building a wall and temporarily suspending immigration from countries comprised of terrorism, and appointing justices that will uphold our Constitution, most especially the right to bear arms. Brothers and sisters, there's something rotten in that basket of summer fruit. The leaders of Amos's time abused their power in order to benefit themselves and had gone about to establish their own standard of righteousness. Some had plenty while the poor in the community were suffering and ignored, living in a real physical famine. Amos prophesied that spiritual famine was on the horizon, and it would be even more devastating and necessary than bread and water. Some 800 years later, Jesus confirmed, "It is written that we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And in today's gospel passage, which was read earlier, Jesus made it more clear when he told a complaining, worried, and distracted Martha, "Mary has chosen the better part to sit at the feet and receive the word of God." That's the better part. Being, not necessarily, always being distracted and doing. Amos's words were for those who seemingly had it all, but were lacking the most necessary thing, the Spirit and the Word of God in their hearts. Brothers and sisters, as we contemplate all that we are witnessing in the world today, senseless and unimaginable murders and death in our country and abroad, growing and unwavering violence and war, the radicalization of some in the name of God, injustice and unequal treatment by the criminal justice system, the ravaging of God's creation and natural disasters that destroy entire communities, physical and mental illnesses that overwhelm families and communities, let us turn to the Word of God. For in it we will find comfort, peace, understanding, sanctuary, justice, and healing. God is indeed our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Therefore, we shall not fear. God is in the midst of the city, and it shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. Beloved, be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. Brothers and sisters, be assured and believe in faith that the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts has not forsaken or forgotten us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God has not gone silent. God has not left us to our own devices. God is speaking into our spiritual famine. God is still speaking into this day and age. Be silent and listen. Amen.
Family of God, will you join me in prayer and intercession? You are a loving God, and you asked Mary and Martha to choose the better way, to listen to your voice, to listen for your voice, and to do your will. You told Amos you would cause a longing for the sound of your voice in our lives. These past couple of weeks have truly caused a famine in our lives and a deep longing to hear your voice so that we can hear and do your better way. We pray for families, friends, and community in Nice and for all of France. We pray for healing, continued healing in Dallas, and for all victims of violence. We remember to you and your better ways the complexities of Turkey, and therefore we pray for your shalom. May we, your people, live a fruitful witness that would make Amos smile at the summer basket of fruit. We pray to be a witness to those who are in pain, those without a friend or an advocate, those who long to hear the kindness of your voice through the witness of our lives. And so, Lord, we take just a few minutes to name in our hearts, or aloud if you so choose, the names of people you have put upon our hearts. And Lord, we listened for your voice, and we thank you that for your voice, we can gather our voices together and pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.